Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So again today we're having prose, so I'll just chant it and then read the translation. Evam vidha naraka yamalaye shanti shantasa sahasrasa tesu sarvesu cha sarva evad dharma vartino ye kechit ihodita anuditas chavani pate paryayena visanti tataiva dharman vartina itarata ihatu punar bhave to ubhaya sheshabhyam nishavanti. Here's the translation and purport. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. Purport. This corresponds to the beginning of Lord Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. Tatha dehantara prapti. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Udva pachanti sattvashta. Those in the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Adho gachanti tamasaha. Similarly, those too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his enjoyment in the higher planetary system is over. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. The problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept a material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyang evang yo veti tatvata jaktva dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is perfection of life and the real solution to life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher planetary, to the heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of this material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvadhamam prachaja mamikam sarnam vraja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. Manmana bhavan madbhakto madjhaji mam namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once you become Krishna's devotee, worship him and offer obeisances to him. Thus one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Krishna. I was asked to also go on to the next verse. Since we're trying to get out of the hellish planets chapter of the Bhagavatam. I guess that's too much for some people. So Next text. This is text 38. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by His energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virata Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others, to propagate Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained, especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or to the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat Rupa form of the Lord as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from material, conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanatam Anandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshum Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kruta Vachalang Pangam Lang Hayate Grim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarana Vanchi Kalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sinu Devacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Unfortunately, most people in this age of Kali are paving their way to hell because of so much sinful activity. A couple of days ago, I was speaking to a couple students, and they asked, did we believe in a conception of hell? And I said yes. And they said, oh. I said, but you don't stay there forever. They said, oh, that's good. this is a conception of some religions, that you're sinful, you go to hell, and you just burn eternally. You just suffer in unlimited ways. And you never get a chance again. So I told them, no. God is more kind than that. If someone is sinful, they go to hell. They suffer, they do their time, and then they get a chance again. Therefore, there's reincarnation. And one of them said, oh, finally, a religion that makes sense. Very pleased to hear this. Yeah, without reincarnation, the whole thing just doesn't make sense. There must be given another chance. So Krishna gives us that chance again. But we want to help people avoid this horrible situation. Can't imagine how hellish hell is. So much suffering. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trivadham narakasyedum dvaram nasana matmana kama krodha tathalobas tasmareta dhyam jacha. That everyone should give up these lust, anger, and greed, because they lead to the degradation of the soul. This poison for the soul. and which causes one to go down, down and down. So if we take seriously to Krishna consciousness, then we can avoid this hellish condition of life. Of course, we're, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's got us off that horrible destiny that we were heading towards. And so we want to also help others avoid this hellish condition of life in which people suffer so much. In the next purport, Srila Prabhupada, interesting, he says that without this original consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Interesting statement. One melts into complete darkness. I mean, generally we hear there's that statement, nainam chindanti sistrani, nainam dehapim pavaka, that the soul cannot be destroyed by any weapon or burned by fire. Or, you know. But now Prabhupada says, melts into, the soul also cannot melt. But Prabhupada just letting us know how when one becomes completely lost in this material nature by engaging in sinful activities, by being in this darkness. There's one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that there's four types of blindness. One type of blindness is physical blindness, where one is just physically, you can't see. Another one is being blinded by lust. Just like, you know, there's this saying that love is blind. You might have heard this. It's a common saying. Actually, love is not blind. If one has love, then one can see. But love is only between us and Krishna. Lust is blind. This is what is blind, not love. Once we learn to love, then we can see everything clearly. But that love is only between us and Krishna. Then everything is seen very clearly. No illusion, no darkness. Complete understanding of reality. Just like there's one famous writer, Ernest Hemingway, one of the most famous American writers in history. He was quite licentious before or during his life. And then he had some health problem. And the doctor, he said, if you have sex anymore, you'll die. So with that statement, he committed suicide that night. Could not imagine living without sex. You know, people are so bewildered by this bodily conception of life, these so-called pleasures. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that the happiness, the so-called happiness that one experiences in material sense gratification, is the greatest enemy of the soul. Because one becomes bewildered. It becomes bewildered by this. I think this is the real pleasure, and without it, how can I live? Prabhupada read one article, I think it was in a newspaper magazine, and the headline was, "Is there sex after death?" So Prabhupada started laughing. They're just thinking of sex. They're concerned, you know, will we have more after death? Yeah. So this is blindness. People are blinded by lust, and they're just blind by greed. People are very greedy. Just like there was this story of the Avanti Brahmana in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was very wealthy, filthy rich, multi-billionaire, but he was very cruel to his family members and could not treat anybody with respect. He was very stingy. He wouldn't give his wealth away to anyone. So because of his low mentality, he gradually, by Krishna's arrangement, all his wealth was taken away. The government and thieves and his family members and just everything was taken away eventually. He had nothing. And in that state, he finally became detached from material life. And so detached that he became a great saint. And one of the verses, it's called the Avanti, the Song of the Avanti Brahmana. Beautiful prayers sung by him. And actually the sannyasis, when they take sannyas, they chant one of his little slokas there, extra mantra that they chant during the Gayatri mantra, I believe. So he learned a good lesson, you know. So many people become blinded by this greed. There's so many wealthy people in the world that are just hoarding their money. They could be helping so many people in various ways, but they're just hoarding sometimes billions, millions of dollars, you know, just to get more and more and more. So people become bewildered by this. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madapamam Naivarhatyabhaktima Tomakichina Gotra. People that had this high birth, this opulence, wealth, education, beauty, they cannot call out the name of Krishna because they're becoming bewildered by this. So there's blinded by lust, greed, of course, physical blindness, blinded by ignorance. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. The spiritual master, he opens the eyes of his disciple by giving them transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, everybody is practically blind, can't see what is reality. There's a nice story in this regard of a great devotee of Jamunacharya. He grew up in the Gurukul, like most children in the days of yore, they would go to the Gurukul. So he was staying in the Gurukul, and his spiritual master and his god brothers, they went off on some trek, and he was the only one there at the ashram. And one disciple of another person, Kolahala, came, and he went there to get a tax that Yamuna, his name was Yamuna in the beginning, of course, when he was young. So he went to the ashram and he said, "Is your guru here? Bhashyacharya, is he here?" He said, no, he's not here. He said, "Well, he owes money to my guru. He was defeated in a debate, so he hasn't paid for 2 years. So you have to find him. Go find him. He has to pay his due, his tax." So this person was quite proud. So Yamuna said, "I'm not going to go find him to see you and give some tax, because you're a fool, and whoever your guru is also a fool. Because any guru that allows his disciple to be as arrogant as you are must also be a fool. I'll challenge your spiritual master to a debate myself, and that will nullify any debt that my spiritual master may owe." So this disciple was shocked. This young boy has just challenged this guru. And this person, Kolahala, he was very famous as a great pundit, great scholar, and he was defeating everybody, but he was very proud. He was blinded by pride. Yeah. So he may have been in the mode of goodness, knowing so many slokas and like this, but there's a problem with the mode of goodness, that one becomes proud of this knowing so much. Knowledge is one of the things that one develops in the mode of goodness, but he became completely bewildered by pride. And he would tax, because he was the king's pundit. So he had this freedom to tax anyone that he defeated. So he was doing like this. So this disciple went back and he told Kolahala, that his guru, that this young boy, he's challenged you to a debate. I went there to get the tax that his guru owed, and he became very upset that I had gone there and done this, so he challenged you. So he started laughing. What is this 12-year-old boy? He challenges me to a debate? And the king was there, so he said, okay, this sounds interesting. And the queen was there also. And they made a wager. She had heard about this Jamuna somehow, and she had some faith in him. She was thinking that I think this boy will defeat him. So there was a wager made, and the king said, if he wins, then I'll give him half my kingdom. And the queen said, and if he loses, then I'll become the maidservant of your maidservant, she said to the king. So that's pretty heavy for a queen to become the maidservant of a maidservant. So, okay, it was on. There was going to be this debate between this young boy and Kolahala. So he went and informed. They went back and informed this Jamuna that it had been arranged that he would go and have this debate. So when he arrived at the ashram, it was just this young disciple. And Jamuna said, what is this? I'm challenging the king's pundit, and only you have come? He said, no, there should be a big parade. Come on, make this bona fide, this is a big thing, So then he went back and told the king, and said the king said, yes, get elephants and horses and cavalry and everything. And then they invited him. Became a big thing, and everybody in the city heard about it. It was a big thing, because a lot of the people, they didn't like this pundit because he was so proud, so they wanted to see him defeated. So it became a big thing. It's like here in America, if there's a big football game, they have a stadium, so that's a big attractive thing. So there was like a stadium there also for this, simply for this debate, to see this debate between Jamuna and Kolahala. So he went there, thousands of people listening to this debate. So then Kolahari started asking different things about grammar, Sanskrit grammar, and other things. And Jamuna, he answered them very quickly. And he said, Now I want you to refute three statements I make. Prove that they're wrong. And if you can't, then you're defeated. First is that the king is righteous. Refute this if you can. And Kolahala is like, what? You want me to prove that the king is not righteous? What is this? What kind of a statement is this? Okay, that's one. You could not refute it. Now, the queen is chaste. Refute this if you can. Prove that she is not chaste, according to Shastra. I think he's thinking, my God, this boy is very tricky. So then he said to the king, this boy, he's making an offense. He's saying that you're not righteous, that she's not chaste. What is this nonsense? He should be put to death. So he became very heavy. And then Jamuna said, that's true. Now, your mother is barren. Your mother is not barren. Your mother is not barren. Prove this to be true. How can my mother be barren? I'm standing right here. Huh? Yeah. So he couldn't do it. So he said, all right, that's it. You failed. So then he Kolahala said, all right, now you proved that these statements are true. Or you refute these statements. So then he said that the king is not righteous. Because according to Shastra, the king, he takes on 1/6 of the sins of all of his subjects. So therefore he's sinful. He's accepting reactions. It's also said that the king, he's the representative of 8 demigods. So the queen, she is also the wife of these 8 demigods, so how can she be chaste? And the queen said, yes, this is true. She was like into it. Yeah. So then, it's also said that a woman who has only one child is considered barren. So your mother is barren, according to Shastra. So he defeated the great pundit. And there was a big roar of applause that he had defeated this pundit. So then he had half of the king's kingdom. He had this huge kingdom now, 12-year-old boy. So he was kind of joyful about this, somehow. So he got this kingdom. So some of the other kings, they heard about this, that this young boy, he's got this kingdom now, so they went to try to conquer him. But he also got half the army, so he was very intelligent, so he was able to defeat these other kings that had come to try to conquer him. And he became a very, very famous king and became very... He got so much land and so many people, and he became a very successful king. So many, many years later, his grandfather, Natamuni, was leaving his body. So his disciple, I think it was Rama Misra, he went to his guru and he said, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" He said, "Yes, my grandson, Jamuna, he was a very nice devotee. Now he's become bewildered by having so much opulence. I want you to make him a devotee again." So he took that on his head to make Jamuna again a devotee. So he had a plan. Now, it wasn't easy to go see the king, so he had this plan that he was bringing this special plant, this special spinach, Tuduvalai. He was bringing it every day to the cook to make for the king. So he was bringing it to him every day, and the king, he liked it very much. And this special vegetable, it brought one, to the mode of goodness. It made him feel good. It's a special plant. So he was bringing it every day for 2 months to the cook, to cook for... Actually, his name became Alabandhara. He became the king, so his name was changed to Alabandhara. So he was bringing this every day, and then one day he didn't bring it. So then Alabandhara, he asked, "Where is this vegetable that was coming every day? I liked it very much. Where is it?" And the cook said, "Well, there was one sadhu coming. He was bringing it every day. He didn't bring it today." So the king said, "Well, next time you see him, tell him I'd like to see him." So the next day he came and he brought it. And the cook said, "Oh, the king, he wants to see you." So he was escorted in. And he said, "You know, this vegetable preparation you bring is very nice. I like it very much. Please bring it every day." He said, "Oh, okay, I can do that. But I have a message for you." "Oh, yes, I have a message for you from your grandfather, Natamuni, that he has left a great treasure for you. And he wants me to take you to get this treasure." So he said, "Oh, this is very good news. I could always use more wealth." So he said, "But the condition is that we go alone. You can't bring your entourage. We have to go alone to get this treasure." I said, "Okay. So we can go tomorrow." So they started off. So they were walking along, and Rama Mishra, he started chanting slokas from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just going on and on, chanting different slokas. And eventually, Yamuna, he started remembering all these slokas, and he started chanting these slokas along with him as he was chanting. So he became inspired. You know, just like, you know, those of you who know slokas, it's nice, you know, to repeat these slokas. And we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam slokas, Bhagavad Gita slokas. It's enlivening to the soul to hear these slokas. So by this continuous hearing, his Krishna consciousness was reawoken. And this is also what we're doing in this Krishna consciousness, you know, process. You know, we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're hearing Bhagavad Gita's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the result of this is our Krishna consciousness will it'll rise again. You know, we will wake up again by this hearing and chanting. It's there, this Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajji Kavanoi Sravanari Sudha Chitti Kurya Yoi. And this love for Krishna, it's there in the hearts of all living entities. It just has to be sparked. It just has to be reawoken. So this is what we're doing. And this is what Rama Mishra is doing also. He's reawakening this love for Krishna, this attraction for Krishna. So after a couple of days of doing this, this Yamuna, he said, you know, I'm very much appreciating your association. You're bringing back my wonderful days as a devotee of Krishna. And you know, I'm not even attracted to this wealth anymore. I don't even want this anymore. I just want to become a devotee. I just want to be your disciple. Good preaching, huh? To turn a king into a devotee. Of course, he was already a devotee, but he's kind of waking up. So he said, no, let's go. Let's get the treasure. I said, okay. So they went, and what he was doing, he took him to Sri Ranganath. You know, they took him to the temple, Ranganath. And he took him to the door, and he led him into the temple room. And he said, this is the treasure that your grandfather has left you, Sri Ranganath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he went, Yamuna went, and he paid dandavats to Lord Ranganath. And he was in tears, paying obeisances, complete in ecstasy to be before the Lord and to be a devotee again. So when he came out of the temple room, he told Rama Mishra, he said, my material life is finished now. I want to give up my kingdom. I just want to be a devotee. So he became such a great devotee. He became Jamunacharya, who to this day is still famous in India. Everybody has heard of Jamunacharya. He became such a great saint. But before he became a devotee, he was very licentious. He was very bewildered by lust also. He had many queens and very bewildered. He was blinded. But then his eyes were opened by the devotee. So he wrote many books. And of all the books that he wrote, there's one sloka that is most famous. Yadavadhi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde navanavarasadami yantimatimasi tadavadhi batanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukasu. What is it? I forgot it. He says that since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sex pleasure, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. Yeah. So he became such an exalted devotee, he was just completely disgusted with the idea of sense gratification and was getting ever fresh pleasure simply by hearing about Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the names of Krishna, hearing the scriptures. So this is the nature of the transcendental words of Krishna, the name of Krishna, that they're ever fresh. Yeah. Just like there's this, so many devotees, so many famous devotees, they're chanting 64 rounds a day. Even now in ISKCON, there's many devotees chant 64 rounds a day. The same words, Hare Krishna and Ram, for hours and hours and hours. Yeah. It's not a material sound vibration. It's completely transcendental. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra Purno Suro Nuchimukta Abhinadvam Naminami. That the name of Krishna and Krishna, they are non-different. Nama Chintamani Krishna. And simply by chanting the name of Krishna, all one's desires will be fulfilled. Of course, spiritual desires. We should desire only that which will give pleasure to Krishna. So many desires, the mind is so many, it's so flickering, so many, so much nonsense, so much garbage is in the mind, going here and going there. So this is what purifies the mind, hearing the name of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is the form of all transcendental mellows. Purno Suto. It is complete. It is pure. Nityamukto. It is eternally liberating. So this is the nature of the holy name of Krishna. And if we chant this sincerely, we'll become completely purified. And we'll be qualified to enter into the spiritual world. So maybe I'll stop there. Is there any question or comment? Yeah. The microphone is coming.
After Yamuna won the debate with the priest of the king, did the spiritual master of Yamuna have anything to say about it, or what did he think of that?
The spiritual master of Yamuna?
Yes.
Did he have anything to say about it? I don't know. It's not mentioned. Oh, he blessed him. Before the debate, he blessed him to defeat him. Oh, okay. There you go. So with the blessings of the guru, then, so much success will be there. Without the blessings of the guru, without the blessings of Krishna, we can't do anything. So he got those blessings, and that's why he was able to defeat him, actually. He had to get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Prem Sankirtan, you had a question?
Srila Prabhupada, what's all of us in ISKCON actually to be very knowledgeable about his books? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we see, you know, so many members in our ISKCON that are very knowledgeable. You know, our gurus, who, you know, Dravida Prabhu, Radharan Maharaj, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita very well. Pralananda Maharaj, you know, Krishna book, you know, small. So is it a danger also to have so much knowledge about Krishna? And you said if you have so much knowledge, I just recently asked Mukunda Datta, he also said something, it's really dangerous to have so much knowledge about Krishna because it can make you proud. Mm. But at the same time, this knowledge supposed to purify everything in your heart, even this proud. So can you explain a little bit how to avoid to be proud? Mm. Because all of this hopefully should go in that direction, to know so much about Krishna.
Yes, this blinded by pride, this is actually the worst blindness. Because if one becomes blinded by pride, one cannot hear anything. So, although devotees, they learn so many slokas, they have so much knowledge, still it's important that we remain humble. Humility is the crown jewel of the Vaishnavas, actually. So, and there's been many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were Sanskrit scholars, knew so many slokas, but they became bewildered by this pride. So it's something that one has, that we have to all be very careful about. If we gain knowledge, one can very easily become bewildered, thinking, I know so much, and he doesn't know very much. So it's something that we have to be very careful about. Oh, Archita, and then Amala Bhakta.
You shouldn't use that as an excuse not to study, though.
Don't use that as
not
an excuse.
That. I may become proud, therefore I'm not going to study. You know, let's put it this way. You know, there's gradations. Pride based on knowledge is better than pride based on ignorance. And many people are proud that they don't know squat. And there are many people who are proud of their knowledge. So Krishna will take away the pride and the knowledge will remain. Yeah. But if you're proud of being ignorant, then what is it that they have nothing? So study. Prabhupada wanted us to study. Hear, repeat. This is how you remember. If you don't hear, you can't repeat. And if you hear and you don't repeat, then it's difficult to remember. So hear, repeat, and you'll start remembering. And then if you become a little proud along the way, Krishna will take care of that. Yeah. Krishna is still the Chaita Guru. It's not that when you take your Diksha Guru, then Krishna leaves you alone. He's still prodding you from inside. So he'll set up situations to take away the pride. Guaranteed. You know, as a book distributor, if you become
a little proud,
Krishna always makes some arrangement to knock down that pride. So keep studying. If it makes you a little proud, don't worry. Krishna will take care of it.
I'm on the Bhakti Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice class. First of all, the question that was asked, is it how do we overcome this pride? Was that the question? Okay. the first thing is that a devotee has to recognize and realize that he does have it. He does have pride, and that it's harmful to his spiritual life. That's the first thing. And we all have it. So we all have to start from that position that I do have. If it's a small amount, even that can destroy a person's spiritual life. Okay, the second thing is that we have to ask ourselves, why am I proud? Because I'm superior to Joe Blow over there or this person over there? Where did I get my knowledge from? Where did it come from? Did it just come out of a vacuum? Somebody gave it to me. It descended. Who gave me my intelligence? That all came from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if the Lord has given me this little bit of knowledge, why am I proud when He has zillions and zillions more knowledge? So next to Krishna, I'm just like an ant. So feeling like an ant next to Krishna, that should squash any degree of pride we have. Because I know more than you, or you, or you, or you, what is that in comparison to what I know, to what Krishna knows? And as Archita so nicely said, is that what I have can be, at one time I didn't have, and then I now have, and that in the future it can again be removed.
So, it will.
It will be. And near the time of death, everything that you're proud of is about to disappear from you. You're about to be taken away from it. So all these things considered is that we have absolutely nothing to be proud of except the fact that Krishna is very kind and merciful to give me this knowledge, which should be used not to feel better than others, but to help others to become better than ourselves.
Thank you. Another thing is that, remember the pastime of Vasudev Dutt? He was a leper and great devotee. Very exalted devotee. He prayed that all the sins of everyone in the universe go upon him so that they can go back to Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya heard this and he just started crying. He was so much in ecstasy because he knew he wasn't just saying it. It wasn't just lip service. He felt it in his heart. Very exalted. So Lord Chaitanya, at one point, he embraced him and he removed the leprosy. It just went away. And he became a very beautiful, very attractive Vaishnava. So then he became disturbed. The Lord Chaitanya, now I'm going to become proud that you've embraced me. I was a leper and now I have this beautiful body. But Lord Chaitanya, he said, you simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And that will keep you from becoming proud. So that's the key. Chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.